can raw dog a nap.
Oh, I'm so good at raw dogging naps, Lotion. I could raw dog a nap all day. I gotta remember on episode like 20 how to do the intro, and I say this every time. Oh, consistency. Welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrick Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it your problem. And to quote Eric Bischoff, where the C stands for consistency, is what I'm saying this week. And speaking of this week, our esteemed steamy guest is, oh, folks, I'm so excited, our first brand account guest, our first official corporate guest. Formerly, I was going to say we have the beans, but not anymore. Cheese Mouse themselves. Lotion, hello.
Hi. Well, I am. I want to point something out right at the top.
We can clarify?
Yeah, we're clarifying something. I'm official Go-Gurt.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That still exists. So you do have a real brand account on your podcast right now.
Yeah, so. I double checked. I didn't just want to say that without having it. Sort of, who, me? Not doing my due diligence? No. But yes, we have an official brand account. You're the first official corporation to be on the podcast, Lotion. Welcome, Le Cheese Mouse. How are you?
Thank you. I'm so good. I really am. Can I get personal? Can I tell you a personal anecdote as to why I'm so good?
You can literally do whatever the hell you want. I'm the only person in charge of this entire show. I can do whatever the hell I want with it. So.
Oh my God.
I guess they can yell at me, but I don't care.
No, I think you should just include everything that we say and run with it, and it's gonna be beautiful. No. So
easy to edit. Yep.
I'm so good because I got prescribed Wellbutrin last week, and oh my God, that particular addition to my mix of meds,
doing it for
apparently
you?
It's doing it for me. It Hell is doing yeah. it for me. I am happy. I am excited. I am energetic. You can hear it. It's amazing.
It's coming across. Yes. No, we hear Stan, an excited, happy, content Cheese Mouse. I am all about it. Yes. Fantastic. Yes. Excellent. Yeah. Well, brought to you by Wellbutrin this week, folks.
This episode brought to you by Wellbutrin. We love Wellbutrin. And how are you? How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Brought to you by 1-800-COLLECT. That'll be happening later. Yeah, other than that, brought to you by, well, what can I do here? Oh, I've never done this before. This is a fun little exercise. Okay, cool. Going with it. On that note, brought to you by Homegrown Cannabis.
Yeah,
it's really nice. It's I discussed this with last week's guest off mic, but I've discovered how to get around the fact that weed is too strong now, and that is growing it yourself and doing it poorly. And it's just working like a T for me. It's I pop a seed that says it can get 28% THC, which is more than anyone in my situation needs. But then, you know, I don't have great lights. So it comes out like a 14. And it's like, this is perfect. It still smells like cherry cola. It's great.
You're just making mids. You are intentionally.
They are mids. They have cat hair. I have a brand to uphold. Speaking of brands. everything I do has to be done midly. I sign emails midly. I literally have done that. I didn't mean to. It's just, you know, fuck it, lean into it. Everything I've done on the internet has not been on purpose. It's just kind of like, here we go. so yes, I have invented mids. That's what I'm here to tell everyone in the podcast world that listens to this. I have invented mids. It was me. I went back in time, I guess, at some point and introduced it to the random population because I've been smoking them my whole life, but I also invented them. It's really cool. I have this power. I imagine that'll come from a strain that I develop later, the ability to bend time. Looking forward to that.
That feels accurate to me.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen eventually. Like, I've smoked stuff that has made me see around corners. So, like, it's going to happen. We'll get
it's going to happen. What was that? Maybe like 19% THC?
Probably. Yeah, I've got that right. I have a high tolerance, but I am very old. Yeah. Like one time, oh God, somebody like I think I smoked, it must have been shattered because it wasn't like a dab in a dab rig, but it was like on top of a bowl. And I did not necessarily understand what it was that I was doing. And they're just like, here, hit this. I was like, fuck yeah, let's do that. And then I took a nap for 8 hours in the middle of the day. And I was just like, that's not for me. That is for somebody else. No, thank you.
More for them. More for them. Yes, that's okay.
And like we don't shame. I'm sure someone needs that level of medication. I'm sure, good for mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. I guess see me. It's like I don't drink anymore. Not just because I don't want to, but because like I've gotten to the point that I haven't in so long. If I have half of a beer that I used to drink seven of, I just go see me. And it's like, well, what's the point? I just take a nap. I was going to do that anyways.
Right. You can just take a nap organically. You can raw dog a nap. That's not a hard thing to do.
Oh, I'm so good at raw dogging naps, Lotion. Oh, I could raw dog a nap all day. Hell yeah. Well, that almost feels like a segue, but not quite yet. Oh, I was going to say dog because I want to talk about Pepe all the time. But I should ask first, before me reaching out to you, what's your relationship with, if any, with wrestling? Are you a complete noob? Is this, are you a lapsed person who used to watch it? Where are you coming at from, Lotion?
Well, so I have a little bit, I think it's a fairly interesting history with wrestling in that it started last year because I went on a first date to a death match.
Holy shit. Okay, I'm, settling in. Like, how'd that go? Did you catch the teeth so you get married next?
Oh my gosh, that would have been amazing. But no, I just cut some Legos. But and I got a little bit of blood on me.
yeah, which might happen at a death match. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very interesting. I had never seen anything quite like it before, and bonding with the rest of them. But at the beginning, I was just terrified. I had no idea what was going on.
I have to be in a mood for a death match. I will be honest. It's not something that like I go to all the time, but I have so much respect for the people who do it because what the fuck? Like, just way to be like, I have an exhibition kink, a sadism thing, and a masochism thing, and just rolling with all three. And saying, plus I'm a theater kid, let's make this work. You know, like, way to find your joy, sir. You cut that guy's head with a pizza cutter. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think, I think the thing that's most interesting to me is that somehow, by the end of it, I remember yelling, make him bleed, you know? Like,
that's
like that. It's the artistry of the performers that, I'm sorry, the athletes.
Oh, sure. I often go with fucking carnies, so like you're so no worries, like we're not going to judge on this podcast.
but they're doing this so well that you can't help but be involved.
No, it pulls you in.
Yeah, it's fascinating, honestly. I think it's fascinating and beautiful and wonderful. But
it is one of my favorite things about the medium as a whole is people who are on the fence or don't even necessarily think it's going to be their thing, but by the end of it they're chanting for blood. Like that mm-hmm. means that it's been done right, because it's a craft. It's knowing how to play the crowd like a fucking violin, you know, and like getting people to go from maybe not even caring to like you're describing. I got to take my partner to their first like in-person wrestling event ever this summer, and it was like a local thing, and it was certainly not a death match. It was very much Family friendly was fucking awesome. Luchador animals, including a possum who played dead and then went for the pin.
Oh, that's like, awesome.
Just that... understanding the assignment, you know?
Yeah, yeah, there we go. That's what we're looking for.
Exactly. And I've often said, like, because you'll get a lot of people who, and we'll get into a little bit when we get to Nitro, because there was some stuff that could speak to this. You know, you get people who are like, you know, well, if it's not deathmatch, if it's not hardcore, then it's children shit, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, that's not it either. Like, you're not getting it either. Like, for me, the true joy of this and why I love it so much enough to, like, do a podcast like this is that you can get that effect out of something that you were not expecting. And when that happens, it's just magic in a way that nothing else is, really, in my opinion. And, like... yeah, something that shouldn't work, yet they make it work, and they draw people in just through the sheer improv, like, art of it. Like, if someone's really good at it, last week we got to talk about William Regal, and, like, he was the master of this, I feel like, is he spends, before he goes out, he always spends time just listening to the crowd. And I've heard him talk about this, because he wants to know how he's got to play it tonight. Basically, he reads them so he knows what he has to do to get the, you know, if that guy's sitting on his hands by the end of it, I want to make sure he's calling for my head, you know? So, like, he pays attention to who's sitting on their hands, and he goes out there and he gets in their face and makes sure that they are pulled in and, like, does his job. And it's like, it's almost like that quote from Almost Famous, Jason Lee, like, I look for the one guy that's not getting off and I make him get off. And, like, yes, that's William.
Yeah,
Regal.
Yeah.
That's someone who's good at this. That's what they're doing. And I respect the hell out of that. So, no, that's awesome that you got pulled in to it by the end. So, like, I mean, I just have to say, though, what a gamble, a first date to a death match. Like, congratulations. To the person who came up with that, I'm glad it was a good promotion. I'm glad that the workers were on that night, or it probably could have gone very poorly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was, very interesting experience overall in general. Now I'm just reflecting on it, but,
nostalgia on the cast. It happens.
It happens. But yeah, I think what I took away from that first date that did not turn into a second date, was that I love wrestling. I love wrestling though. Like, I think it's amazing. I haven't really watched any since then, just cause I haven't really known where to start. And so this was an exciting, like, ask. Because I was like, okay, this is a good place to start.
It's a little look back at where it's been. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Awesome. Well, I hope by the end of this, you have an even better idea of where to look for new stuff. And you're in an exciting place for it, as far as access. Because, like, next year, AEW, the what I like to pretty much refer to as, like, the new WCW, in the sense that after 20 years of there not being any competition, there's an alternative now, like there was with what we watched. The whole point of this is these two companies competing. We got that again to a certain extent. Their stuff, though, has not had a home for all of the backlog. You have to watch it on TV, kind of like it was 20 years ago, but that makes it hard to jump in, you know? But next year, it's all going to be on Max. So, like, yeah, and what's cool about that is it's a company that's just over 5 years old. So, like, it's not hard to think, like, you could go back and, like, catch up, you know? You could go back and, like, watch stuff and kind of get an idea of where these people are, and you could get pulled back in, because, like, with the stuff we're watching in 1996, and at this point, the one company has been going since the 50s. The Federation, the WWE, and the other one, the WCW, is the end of the NWA, which started in, like, the 40s or something like that. Like, just, which was the amalgamation of the territories, which started God knows when. So it's like, there's so much history here that it's overwhelming to know where to jump into. But I hope by the end of this, you have, I exist in the context, because I know too much about all this shit. So if you have questions, feel free to ask a Garrick. And on that note, where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about Nitro or Raw first?
Let's talk about Nitro first. That's the order that I watched them in, is Nitro and then Raw.
Okay, cool. I've been flipping it lately because Raw has been like eating my vegetables very much so. And yeah, so we could start with Nitro. Okay. I guess that makes sense. I'm getting emotionally prepared for the Raw to come. So
yeah, it actually, I think it was correct for me at least.
Yeah, everyone's different. It worked well for you.
That was the order that worked well for me, and I think that's okay. First of all, I just want to say that I had no idea what was going on the entire time.
Yay, that's my favorite. No, I love when people have no idea what's going on, because I like to imagine that you have the hardcore every week fan, and then you have the person who switched the channel on and has no idea what's going on.
They just like see somebody getting hit and they're like, that's awesome, I want to keep watching that.
Yeah, all right, cool, yeah, spandex. Let's go. you see that little puppy? That is great. So yeah, we're live in Nitro in Miami. This is one of the weeks where it's not a live Raw, but definitely always a live Nitro. And I'm going to get right into obligatory Pepe talk. I don't know what's going on with that dog's outfit this week, but I love him and I want him to be happy. And that's all that really matters. Because yeah. Like right off the bat, they come in the commentary, they're talking, but I'm just trying to get a look at that dog. And it's going to keep happening until he's off commentary, which might be soon. I forget.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm trying to enjoy the dog while he's here with us, basically, because the dog belongs to Mongo, the former football player and agent of chaos all around Yokel, and he's eventually going to become a wrestler and get off commentary, which...
That seems like a whole-ass choice.
Yeah, I mean, like, I historically always hated him as a commentator. It's doing this show that made me appreciate him as a commentator. He's never, ever, ever, ever going to be good as a wrestler. It just never happens. He does it for many years, and he never gets better. It's really weird. And the biggest problem, though, is it takes away Pepe. We don't get Pepe every week because he's... Yeah. Yeah, you can't bring that dog to the ring. That's dangerous.
No. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? That's like terrible. Bringing a baby on an airplane. What the fuck are you doing?
Oh, yeah, what are you doing? That little dog's ears are going to pop every time they hit the mat there. It's terrible.
Yeah. Oh. Oh.
No, he's got anxiety.
That might actually be animal abuse if you do that.
Yeah. So thankfully, none of that this time around. All of a sudden, I'm feeling bad for all the times that I've Photoshopped Mox into the ring in my promos now. It was fake. No Moxes were abused here. But yeah, they just start running down the card, and it's full of blood feuds. And okay, they start off with Luger and Savage number 4. This is getting a little boring to me personally, but I'm sure in 1996, and for, you know, the random watcher, this is great. Sausage Man versus Florida Man, both shows starting with Team Tassels. There's some sort of cohesion going on here. But Lex decides he would like to lose by DQ right away and just throws a chair into the ring. And I was like, okay, like really leaning into I'm the bad guy, folks. Like right off the bat, commentary has barely said anything and he's just throwing chairs. I'm like, okay, this is going to, right off the bat, I feel like this is going to be a weird Nitro. Sigh.
And you're right. You're right, because the throwing of the chair, I mean, I was like, oh wait, I thought this was regular wrestling. It threw me.
Yeah,
you threw the chair like, and I got thrown as well. I was like, oh, it's death. I'm in. I'm ready.
Right. Oh, it's a death mate. I know this. I get this reference.
I get this reference. I know this one.
Holy shit. Yes. No, but unfortunately it was all a ploy and he just uses a distraction, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like I blah, blah, blah over a lot of this because it's just the same Lex and Savage match. It's fun, but it's going to be slow. It's all right. I think Macho is still legit injured in his arm. So, like, I think that's a big part of why this match went the way it did. They're going to work around that and try to play to the crowd more so he could chill. And it turns out I was kind of right. Still better than Raw, but mostly because they're actually doing play-by-play. I'm very happy that the commentators actually do play-by-play on Nitro. We've been saying it a lot, but I'm noticing it more and more because this Raw did not have much of any of that. And it saddens me. Mongo does get into that a little bit, though. He tells us to toss the remote, and I'm like, okay, jab, 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 jab at the other company. We are, in fact, in a war. Eventually, Macho goes for his big finish elbow. Lex moves, puts him in the torture rack, and that's the end of that. And it's just like, okay, that was the opening match. I was like, I couldn't really take much notes on that. Not much happened. Yeah,
it felt like standard. If that makes sense. I was like, okay, this is what it is. It was like a little appetizer, a little wrestling appetizer, a little appetizer.
Yeah. Yes, exactly, exactly. And, you know, I'll give them that because the amuse-bouche is pretty good on this episode. I'll give them that. So, like, you know, this is a good appetizer. So, like, yeah, I'm not used to the fact that it's Randy Savage and Lex Luger doing the appetizer curtain jerker meh standard match because it's like, in my mind, it's like, these are gods. And it's like, no, in context, they're just a couple dudes on steroids. Like, one of them's injured. He shouldn't be working right now, man. You know, like,
it's like, this has got to be a real simple match because that guy needs to walk out of here. Okay.
Yeah. He needs to go lay down, even though he has, according to Bobby Heaton, hasn't slept since 1967, which also that drags. But yeah, so it is what it is. Luger gets a some sort of move up in a title shot. I was hardly paying attention, I'm going to be honest. This is a weird lotion. I feel like I watched Raw first and it threw me for such a loop that I had a hard time with this Nitro.
Oh no, you made a mistake.
I made a mistake. Well, normally it's Raw that makes me feel like I've done the bad drugs, but this week it was Nitro that made me feel like I did the bad drugs, and this Nitro felt like just a bad trip. It was very weird for me. Case in point, we come back from commercial to the Gooner music, and I'm just like, god damn it, okay, I'm feeling weird already, but here's Kevin Sullivan and Hugh Morris. And then the whole Dungeon of Doom comes out and the Horsemen. And I'm like, okay, what's this? This is different.
Oh, yeah. And I almost forgot about this because I was like, what is happening?
It was very, why is this happening? Like, even it's just like, even on commentary, they're like, no, seriously, though, why is this happening? Love a surprise. Arn is in a suit because it's a business meeting, damn it. And I thought that was kind of cute because he's all serious and old man-like, even though he's like, Arn Anderson, I think, is like 38 right now in this, what we're watching, and he looks like he's in his mid-50s.
I thought he was. I was shocked when you said 38.
Yeah, no, Arn's like 38. Every week I feel like I have to look it up. I'm just like, how old is this old? He's not that old. He's been 38 for like 20 years, and now he's in a suit, so like he's looking schnazzy, like a schnazzy shop teacher. it's really, the whole thing is silly. Kevin says he respects Flair for being a 12-time champion because even the Yankees or the Boston Red Sox could do that, and I just think, well, yeah, Kevin, those aren't scripted. This is fake. Sit down, little Boston Goblin. I have to let you know. He should know. He writes the scripts. They talk about respect, blah, blah, blah. Kevin points out Pillman for not having respect. And that's a little bit of a look behind the curtain. Because, like, Pillman's not on good terms with Kevin Sullivan at this point, like, behind the scenes. And not necessarily on good terms with the company. Pillman's slowly inching his way out the door. But, like, trying to make a character out of it. And it's kind of working. He's loose cannon. Like, he's, you know, just this crazy dude. He's the overly excitable puppy, you know? And, like, sure enough, Arn, like, slaps the shit out of him and tells him to settle down. And, like, that was wild. Like, I have to tell you, Lotion, that's not normal. Like, if none of this is, that's what I mean by feeling like I'm on the bad drugs. This is not a normal Nitro. This is very weird. Arn Anderson's just slapping the shit out of people. Like, like, this is very strange.
Okay. All right, yeah. I had to wonder. I did have to wonder while it was happening. I was like, is this normal? Or is this going to be a whole thing we have to talk about?
It's very strange, and it actually it's like the beginnings of the ends of this whole arrangement with this, because you have in history the Four Horsemen are heel stable. Basically, it's Ric Flair's bros. He always has three bros with him. The bros change throughout history, but Ric Flair has his guys, his Four Horsemen. They do the thing. So it's almost always Arn Anderson is like his right-hand man, and then it changes. Right now, you got Chris Benoit, a.k.a. Redacted, and Brian Pillman. And Pillman's he never fully, I feel like, assimilates because he's just not having a good time here as is, and I think he's just kind of on his way out. And then you have the Dungeon of Doom. I sigh every time I say it because I have to remember that it's an actual real thing that existed in wrestling and that we've been covering for like 20 weeks now. And I've gotten, oh, this is fun, Lotion. I've gotten like used to it. I've gotten calloused to the fact that the Dungeon of Doom exists. And that's sad. That means Kevin Sullivan is winning, and we can't have that.
No, we cannot let them win.
No, we can't let the Gooners win. The Dungeon of Goon will not win. In history, they really don't. But this silly, mystical Taskmaster, Satan-y guy with his various dudes, and like these are the two heel stables. So it's weird that you have these two big bad guy stables out here having like a sit down mafia style in the middle of the ring when they were supposed to be having a match. And it's very that I just put my finger out. That's what it feels like. It feels like they're having a sit down and like the young maid guy's getting uppity and the old dude had to like backhand him, you know, like, and like, hey, calm down in front of the bosses, you know, like, it's so fucking weird. This whole thing is weird, but they decide that they're going to work this shit out and work together against the big trio of baby faces of Savage, Sting, and Hogan. And it's like, okay, whatever, whoop-de-doo. So no match, just the shaky allegiance. It's weird. It's a big deal, theoretically, in kayfabe, but it just feels weird here. It just felt like, it is weird, but not in the good way. I feel like it didn't come across to me how I'm guessing they wanted it to. Of like, oh, this is weird and exciting. I was more like, this just feels weird. I was told Arn Anderson was going to be dropping people on their heads, and now he comes out in a suit. I'm not happy about this. I want to see Arn Anderson hurt people. it's why I'm here.
it was very reminiscent of that moment I referenced earlier where I was screaming for blood.
Yeah.
I was like, I think we should be fighting.
I feel like we should be fighting right now. Yeah, like all the, like they told us there was going to be a fight. What's going on?
Like that, this is nice, but this is not what I was promised.
No, sure enough. The cheese mouse demands blood, damn it. Write that down. I feel like that's merchandising right there.
I was going to say, may I post that? Because
oh, please, take, go. Cheese mouse does demand blood. That's exquisite. Oh my God, I got to help with a shit post. Oh, my heart. That's why I do it, folks. I'm here for the shit posts.
Here for the shit posts. That's why it brings us all together.
It's why everyone I invite is a shit poster, pretty much. It's like, you know, oh shit, you could like get journalists and wrestling people. I'm like, only if they're also shit posters. Love you, Brooke. Shout out to Brooke Binkowski. Amazing journalist, wonderful professional, like super really good. Wouldn't be here if she wasn't a shit poster. I have standards, damn it, and they're mid. But after that, it's almost if through time and space again, they heard the cheese mouse's cry for blood. We get ECW talent debuting in the big leagues. Public Enemy on Nitro versus the American Males, the American Fuckboys. These are deathmatch wrestlers, Lotion. These guys, Johnny Grunge and Rocker Rock, these are deathmatch wrestlers. The equivalent of what a deathmatch wrestler would be in 1996 is these guys. So there's some context for you, because like when this happened, I was like, oh shit. Okay. let's see where this goes. Outside of last week's, replay of a bloodletting, it hasn't been very graphic so far on our adventure here. And we'll see. But, you know, looking good. I'm curious to see if they pull a table out. We do get the American Males theme song, which is like a reason for living, basically. American Males. American Males. They're like if Abercrombie and Fitch was a gimmick. I feel like they're Abercrombie and Fitch models, the gimmick.
And, they are. It's nice. It felt good. I was excited to see them.
It's very, it makes me feel fuzzy in a 90s way. I will say that. That's why I refer to them lovingly as the American Fuckboys, because like that's what they are. They were like the 90s. Like fuckboy dudes, like the himbos even, and they can wrestle pretty well, so good for them. They're getting fed to the street fight deathmatch guys. But I did have to take note that as they're coming out, some lady, some mom in the crowd starts
like, oh my god, stripping. She starts like stripping. Yes, I was losing my mind.
It's like, yeah, girl, go. You get Buff Bagwell's attention. I'm sure you, I don't know about Scotty, but you absolutely have a shot with Buff Bagwell. Marcus Bagwell would definitely take you out to a nice steak dinner and never call you again. Let's go, Mom. Let's go. It's Magic Mike 1996, Miami, Florida. Oh, so good. But Johnny Grunge, they get going right off the bat. And he yells at the camera, "Where the big boys play, we don't play, LOL." And it's like, okay, they're leaning into it. The crowd starts chanting ECW because they know. That's where these guys came from. They came from the hardcore leagues, the Philadelphia scrappy dudes who were like, if the Fed was at the top at this point, which unfortunately they pretty much were, WCW was like the close second. ECW was like the minor leagues, but that's where all the really gory stuff was happening. And it's good enough that they keep taking talent from them, because a guy on Raw was recently in ECW as well. So, you know, good enough for them. Bobby suggests graffitiing the opponent, I guess. That's a thought. like, I feel like he doesn't know what to do with these guys at all. Poor Bobby. So it's like, what is going on here? This is not, these don't look like wrestlers. They almost look like they're wearing like hockey gear or something like that.
Yeah, I was about to say they look like hockey players. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like pretty much like gangster dudes. Like they're from the Philly streets or whatever. And I'm sure problematic. like the ECW stuff is very problematic in all ways. It's ECW was just like, if it's like the, how can we be the most problematic wrestling? It was like edgelords were birthed from ECW. it's the edgelord promotion. Paul Heyman, I love him. He's a genius. One of the best to do it. He's a fucking edgelord. That's all he is when it comes down to it. The guy who created ECW, he knew what he was doing. So like this is a very chaotic match, which kind of tracks to me, because like it's tag team, but ECW barely had rules. like they very much kind of just didn't. Like you could use the chair and there wouldn't be a disqualification. The ref would just say, whatever, fucking cut him with something. I don't give a fuck. So like tag team matches, it's like there weren't always tags. It's just they fought, you know?
They just did it. Yeah.
They just did it. So I was kind of like, how is this going to go? Because there's like rules here. One of you has to get in the fucking corner, you know? And it kind of, they did a bit of both. You know, you could see that they kind of had a lot of that chaos. They're trying to do it. But I thought it was funny that after all that, though, they end up, Public Enemy wins with a roll up and a handful of tights, like classic just heel wrestling thing. And it's like, okay. You didn't like, end it. Yeah, you did the thing. You wrestled. That's weird. oh, quick. This is important. We have a guest.
Oh, a little guest. Oh, my goodness.
I can edit it out of the audio if need be, but you hopped up on Mama's lap and I have to show off the mic.
Okay, I think you keep that in. I think you keep that in.
Yeah. She's the producer.
Little executive producer right there.
Yeah, that's what she do. That's why she's in all of the promo material. And because I'm a simple lady and I love my cat. But yeah, it was.
To be that way.
Right. This is a cat mom podcast. Chonk, 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 chonk. I was going to say, there's no way at some point we weren't doing a wrestling crowd style chonk chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting that they're like, okay, we can wrestle. But then they keep beating him up. And I was like, oh, here we go. And it makes sense because Sabu was a wrestler from ECW that early on in our podcast watching, he showed up in WCW. And it was a similar thing. It was like, well, what they get, his whole thing is that he literally like kills people. Like, what are you going to do here? Mm. And he was great, but it always after the match, he'd pull out a table to do get his shit in, basically. We always say get their shit in because it's like what they're famous for. Well, these guys getting their shit in means someone's going through wood. And sure enough, after the match, they double deck some tables and put Bagwell on top. And then Rocco Rock hits him with a senton through all of it. It's delightful. 1996 is going to fucking rule. I'm so happy I do this podcast. This is great. I saw somebody do that in person when I was 9 or 10 years old at like a VFW hall in Bumfuck, Wisconsin. In like, you know, local indie wrestling, but they stacked up two tables like that and put someone on top and then went off a balcony through it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I was like on the balcony, like right next to the guy jumping off. And I was like, all right, I'm going to love this for the rest of my life, I guess. It took 20 years off, but turns out still love it. Cause like, God, that's cool. We come back from the commercial though, to Man Called Sting Times. Good. Try not to get distracted because I'm just petting this cat and I love her. So, this is a title match, but it's not the main event. And I, for a second, was confused. And then I remembered Hogan.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, Hogan's wrestling, but he doesn't have the belt, so the belt's not the main event. Hulk Hogan, brother, is the main event. every time. Contractually, it's in there, brother. I gotta be the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta be the biggest deal, even if it's just me versus Meng. But that's okay. Flair versus Sting. This is another big old like blood feud. There's no way this ends cleanly, basically. Ric Flair's being all Ric Flair-y. Bobby gives us a woo on the way to commercial, which always pleases me. But other than that, this is like the story of Nitro for me this week. It's like all this should be great, but I'm just I'm on a lot of it. I did have fun though with the. I might have to make sure we watch Clash of the Champions because they give us a promo for Colonel Rob Parker wrestling the love of my life, Sister Sherry. And I feel like that needs to be documented. That's a whole lot of lore there. I feel like it was worth putting in for the folks listening at home. But like, I don't know how to explain to you that there is a oil baron dude who is smitten with a psychotic lady who is the tag team manager of Harlem Heat, and they're in love and they're going to get married. And they felt the need to promo that to us. This is wrestling, basically.
I have a lot of questions, but I feel like we don't have time.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. What I was going to say, like what?
Well, my biggest question is why, but
because we needed to tell a story, Lotion, and they at the time several months ago they didn't know what story to tell, and that's what's fun about this is like all this first went down on like the first Patreon watch party we did, one of them, because it was a pay per view where like Sherry basically was trying to distract the evil heel manager of Colonel Rob Parker, the oil baron. I'm saying oil baron, but I recently found out he was actually supposed to be based on basically a plantation owner. And God damn it, that hurts me inside. I just remembered that in this moment. So throwing that out there, kids. But she was going to distract him. So she like kissed him to distract him and they won the match. But like then every week, like after that, it became clear that she was kind of like into it.
And she liked it too.
And she was like, oh no, I'm like actually falling for this guy. And like they've been like falling in love in the background of matches for like 3 months. It's very funny, and it's one of the things I love about wrestling, where it's like, it's a mid-card story. It's not something that they're going to push as a big deal. That's why, you know, like, they're doing it on, like, a side thing. But, like, it runs through the whole thing. It's a thing that if you're watching every week, you get to see. It's like cartoons in the margins of comics, you know? It's like a little extra. It's not the main story, but it's this fun little thing that goes down. And I love that they're still doing that. Yeah, side plot. Yeah,
it's a side plot. Yeah, it matters.
It does. No matter what Hulk Hogan thinks, it matters. But here's Rick and Sting again, but now with Jimmy Hart yelling into a megaphone annoyingly, which that's great. I feel like as he came out, I was like, why is Jimmy Hart here again? And then later on, I realized that at that point, it's like the Mickey Mouse with that's a secret tool that we're going to save for later. And I realized that's why Jimmy Hart is out here. He's going to come in handy. And I was like, ah, damn it. I am loving Sting has like an orange, red, and black, almost like De Steel, like themed face makeup. He's expanding his artistic horizons as he grows out his dark hair. And I love this for Stinger. I feel like that's worth noting.
It was beautiful. I was a little bit impressed. I was like, can you do my eyeliner?
He's getting fancy with the shapes. He's expanding his horizons. He really is. And I'm happy for him. Because in about a year, he's just going to be wearing crow makeup, which, you know, get it.
Yeah.
He ran that all the way into the ground like this year. He just finally retired. But this match is like the epitome of as I said, getting shit in. you know, it really is. We get hip tosses out of the corner into drop kicks. We get military presses off the ropes. We get an upside down Ric Flair in the corner. This is what everyone came for. I did enjoy. I love catching when you can catch them whispering the next move to each other. And at one point, Rick thumbs Sting in the eye, but Sting like manages to hold his hair still. And you catch Rick totally whispering the next, like, throw me into the fucking thing on camera. And I love when they get caught. It makes me happy. These are professionals, kids. Yeah. All right. Oh, folks at home, I love you all. Thank you for being patient with me. If I sound jumbly, it's because this cat is insisting on full-on getting shelved on my arm now. It's a thing. And it's happening on mic for the first time ever. Thank you, Mox, for making your presence known. And Lotion, I'm sorry that you are getting apparently pushed out as guest. Mox is insisting. You can take it up.
No, I think it's right. If you want me to go, I'll go. Like, it's okay.
I was hoping you'll stick around. She's not much of a conversationalist. mostly.
I'll stay.
She speaks with her teeth. But in the meantime, there's a kid in an ECW shirt flashing it on the hard camera. So, like, ECW really making itself known today. And I'm like, fuck yeah, 96. Eric started listing off these celebrities and sports dudes that like wrestling, which is not pathetic at all. But at the end of it, Bobby just, like, lazily says, George Steinbrenner, and that made me giggle. He is so bored. Bobby is so bored right now. And I love him. Poor guy. Thank you for kissing my arm. Thank you, Moxie.
Oh,
yeah, she's your sweetheart. This is the thing, she has to do this at least once a day ever since I got her, because this is like how I held her for the first week that she was here.
She needs mommy hugs.
She needs the mommy time. She has to be on the shelf of my arm. Yeah, when I first got her, she was a feral street cat and, like, very malnourished little five-month-old kitten, basically. And she just slept like this for, like, a week, basically. Aww. And now she's my problem. It's my little devil child. Ah, we get back to podcasting, Mox, if you'll let me. Thank you. First promo package for Super Brawl, which, you know, okay, we got to take note of that. Card subject to change as always, because these guys have a tendency to get hurt or arrested or poached to a different company. You know, it happens. Looks like Rick got the upper hand over the break, though, and this main event that's not the main event continues. I'm setting you down, Mox. Deal with it. We're definitely firmly in Hogan's... Ow! Oh, my God. That's what I get for setting her down. She's bit my ass on mic.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Demon Child. Well, that's going to draw blood. Yeah.
Blood, we'll blood, blood, blood,
blood. Blood, blood, damn it. Damn it, damn it.
Cheese Mouse demands blood.
Cheese Mouse demands blood, and Mox is like, I'm on it. Fucker. Oh, my God. So, anyways, yes, no, Hulk Hogan is very much trying to, like, get the most exposure with least effort. And that's why these guys are working so hard on this, like, main event, not main event, basically. Because, like, this is a title match. This is the world title match, and it's not the main event. And I'm going to be a stickler about this. I'm mad, Lotion. This is not how these things go, usually. Like, I will say, if, you know, like, context, I try to give context because, like you said, you kind of know, but not really. In this instance, more often than not, it's changed nowadays, and this is kind of how it started to. In this era, like, the idea that there was going to be a world title match on live TV, free TV on a Monday night at all is kind of wild. In and of itself, that's really crazy, because like for the longest time, promotions would have a what they called a TV title. WCW right now even has a TV title. I couldn't tell you who has it right now, but the point of that was that the world title was special and only got, you know, fought for in like mega cards or different things or house shows that, you know, you're trying to get people to go to, so you didn't give it away for free, you know. And that's why the TV title existed, and so that there was a belt every week on TV that could be fought for. That's a lot of what like the mid card title belts are for. In when we get to Raw, they talk about the Intercontinental Championship belt. That's kind of what their TV title is over there at this point in time, at least. Nowadays it's a whole different, the IC title has a legacy, damn it, and all that. Because 20 years on, that's how all this goes. Is like wrestling is a continued series of guys smelling their own farts for like 100 years, and like building up their own lore, but then like at a certain point, very much Vince McMahon. I blame a lot of it, as you can with most things, on Vince McMahon. You get to this point where like they really start to kind of like believe it, like believe their own hype, and make it a bigger deal than it really is, and they lose sight of the fact that it's wrestling. Like, guys, it's not this isn't a big deal. Like, case in point, the fact that like Hogan feels like he has to be in the main event, even though there's a title shot on here, it's like he believes that it's real more than the audience believes it's real. It's like, you know, if I'm not the big deal and if I lose, that's an actual problem because they won't believe in me and it'll affect my bottom line, blah, blah. And it's like, brother, it's fake. And like, it's not, this isn't a real fight. No one's going to think less of you for losing the fake fight, my guy. But this is very much the era where like, it's worked up by all the jabs we see, because these guys are treating this like a war now, as far as the promoters are concerned. And like they're taking jabs at each other and trying to like it all comes down to toxic masculinity all the way down. I hate to be that girl, but it's just bullshit all the way down. And it's a bunch of douchebags fighting each other on national TV. That's what my podcast is about, Lotion. Thank you for joining us. I could probably wrap it in now. That's the whole thing, folks. We got it.
But all we've talked about is Nitro. We got to talk about Raw still.
I know, but 20 episodes in, I figured it out. I'm moving on to the next thing. This is how my neurodivergence work. You can't stop me, Cheese Mouse. Oh, I kid. The Cheese Mouse can't stop me. Cheese Mouse called for blood, and there was blood.
Exactly. I'm very powerful.
You are very powerful. It's not over till it's over. But yeah, basically that. It's ridiculous. It's just a bunch of guys fighting. That's what, like, not even like the fake fighting, actually fighting with a bunch of people's money. It's billionaires fighting, even more so. More on that in Raw. But yeah, they're doing all their tricks and trying to give these folks a good time anyways, because Fuck Hulk Hogan. I'm in an extra fuck Hulk Hogan mood this week, apparently. Maybe it's the election next week. Like, and I'm just
Oh my
reminded.
God, yeah.
And I'm just like, you know what? I'm taking it on you, Hulk, because you did the thing. So I'm taking it out on you because I can. See, also, Undertaker and Isaac Yankem, I'm going to be mad at you later. You haven't gotten out of this. We just haven't gotten to you yet. They recently had. The Undertaker had Donald Trump on his podcast, and it was,
What the fuck?
yeah, it was as sad as it sounds. It like Josie, bless her heart, like live skeeted listening to it,
Oh my God.
and I was like, thank you, because there was no way I was going to do that to myself. And it's just the saddest shit in the world. Like, that's Donald Trump is a huge wrestling fan. Like, that's the scary, sad reality of it. Like, always has been his whole life, ever since he was a kid. So like you get Donald Trump on Undertaker's podcast, and Taker's just like, he's just sitting there going like, wow, you're the president, this is so cool, how you hate immigrants, me too, blah blah blah. And the whole time Donald Trump's just like, and he's like fan struck at the take Undertaker. And,
Wow.
yeah, and he's just like, well, yeah, but you got to fight Madison Square Garden, blah blah. And it's just like, no, he's like an old school wrestling fan. It's very fucked up. It's all connected, and Josie did a better job than anyone else could laying that out in her book. But it's terrifying that like that happened, and now like every time Undertaker's on my screen, I just have to like think about it for the next week. You know, hopefully no more longer than that. But just like, God damn it, this nightmare needs to be over.
Yeah. Oh my God. We really do not live in the good timeline, do we?
We really don't. I mean, we live into the timeline where there's a WWE Hall of Famer that was a former president and might win again. And that's not okay. It's not Rey Mysterio Jr. And that's what's really let me put that back. Yeah, I'd be okay with Ray Ray 619, the representative out of San Diego. That would be fantastic. Get on that, Ray.
Ray, we'd like to see some action.
Yes, you're the hope I can believe in. And just as I start wondering though why this match is still happening, this Ric Flair and Sting match, Lex Luger comes out to harass Jimmy Hart on the apron, and as he steals his megaphone, he accidentally clocks Sting with it and knocks him out. And it's like, oh, okay, that's how this doesn't end clean. But the ref's like, eh, fuck it, it's an accident, no DQ. So even though he's clearly unconscious, Rick puts him in a figure four, and the ref just lets it happen, which I'm sorry, I'm mad at the ref for this. Like, if this was UFC, you would get fined, ref. End the match, you know? But he just puts him
Yeah.
in it and gets the pin, and it's a silly way to end this match.
But that's
Was really.
wrestling, baby.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
wrestling.
But that's wrestling, baby. It's theater, because we have to continue telling the story of how Lex and Sting are going to be distrusting of each other forever, and this feeds into that. But then out comes Hogan and Savage to save Stinger. These are like your Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman of the company. I've decided that Randy Savage is Wonder Woman. Don't ask me why, it just feels right.
It's the pants.
It's the pants. Yeah, he feels like he could lasso a motherfucker real good. And we get something that we get like every week, usually Lotion, but usually it's after the main event. We get Sting, Macho, and Hogan having their Polycule therapy session in the ring. And that's really, I'm proud of them for keeping up with it. It can be hard to keep this going. I do wonder if Mean Gene gets billable office hours for these little sessions, though. They keep doing this to him, where they just like, here, hold the microphone at us while we screen talk at each other about our problems. And it's just, okay, sure. Youth Pastor Sting is confused and concussed, I guess. Like, he got the shit knocked out of him, apparently. And he just sort of, no, Moxley, you don't get to come sniffing at Mama's hand after you drew blood. That is not how this works. No, and she's back on the lap. That is apparently how this works.
It is. It's always how that works.
Oh my God, you are a bad example. But look away, Chalk. But Youth Pastor Singh, very confused, wanders off to ask Lex, But I guess Hulk and Macho also have problems. They're going off at each other, scream talking, and it's finally over. I don't even care about the context. I'm so sick of these two specifically. Well, mostly Hogan. I just hate Hulk Hogan, Lotion. That's where we're at. I'm leaning into it. It's the election. Fuck it. I can blame it on
Hell
that.
Yeah, brother HH. We hate him.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I don't need a reason. Fuck that guy. Fuck the Hulk Hogan. I fucking make him humble, as Stevie would say. But yes, the scream talking's over. We get a Saturday night promo, and I wanted to make sure to talk about this, because, like, what the fuck? We get shown that Hogan will be there, and I'm like, all right, whatever. There's going to be Harlem Heat versus Sting and Lex, and I'm like, all right, cool, yeah, woo. And then just out of nowhere, out of the heavens even, Jim Belushi is on my screen, and he's going to be interviewed for some reason. And honestly, fuck it, let's go. Like, Jim, as far as I know, Jim Belushi has never had anything to do with professional wrestling. I think he's just here. They're talking to him for some reason.
Okay, so I thought, until this moment, I assumed it made sense.
No sense. It's a random Belushi. This is a Belushi in the wild, which happens sometimes. I'll never forget the time he showed up to a Portland protest, and I was just watching from Minneapolis on Twitter. And people are just like, oh, Jim Belushi's here. He's like handing out drugs. This is pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess he has a weed farm and he just wanted to see what the Antifas were doing. So, like, fuck yeah. I like me some Jim Belushi, but I don't understand why he's on my wrestling. I'm just so confused. But 5 points to Nitro for random Belushi, I guess. What's going on? They did it a couple weeks ago. There was random Mike Ditka interview, but that sort of made sense because of Mongo being a Chicago Bear.
Yeah.
That sort of makes sense. You would get Ditka in. But why Belushi? I don't understand. Well, I suppose Belushi's a Chicago guy, too. I wonder if this is just turning into they're interviewing Mongo's friends on Saturday night.
I mean, is that not fun?
I guess. I mean, it's Ted Turner's money. Do what you want. You know, fuck it. And finally, though, we get Hulk Hogan versus Meng. I've been waiting a week for this because Meng also goes by Haku. He is known for being, like, IRL, like, one of the most violent don't fuck with guys in wrestling. Like, if you're in a bar fight, you hope that Meng's on your side. You hope that you have a Haku. Like, he just fucks people up for fun. Like, he's the toughest guy. So all week I've just been like, I know it's not gonna happen, but I've been like, what if?
Yeah, like, ooh.
What if this is the time where like, even though this is not in the history books, and I know this isn't how it went, what if Meng just, like, murdered him? You know, like, maybe I get to see this. Give this to me. I need this, please. But no. And I kind of called it in that, like, I kept looking at the time during the last match, like, how long is this going to go? Because I know Hulk Hogan's not working longer than 6 minutes tonight, brother. And sure enough, I checked the time, and he will not be working longer than 6 minutes tonight. Minute seven costs extra, my dude. I hate this guy. maximum exposure, minimum effort. truly, it's just his whole thing. That's his entire bag this era, that and making movies. Which, that's fine. He can leave and make movies. I don't have to watch him wrestle. Boston Gremlin gets a little choppy chop. That was fun. He's so proud of himself. Kevin Sullivan, good for him. It seems a lot like this match is just going to be Meng massaging Hulk's trapezius.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm just left saying this might fix me. You know, like, that might actually work something out for me. But it's a lot of... rest holds, we call them. Like, the thing is, though, is this is a match that's all rest holds. The rest holds are supposed to happen in between the exciting things. This
not
is just
the whole time.
This is just a lot of Hulk Hogan resting. He's resting with style the whole match. He's theatrically, dramatically resting. I'm fine with that, but, like, I can't believe we love this guy so hard as a culture for so long, because doing this watch through, I'm realizing, like, he's always just kind of sucked.
We need to have standards.
We need to up our standards as a society and say we can do better than Hulk Hogan. We could probably also do better than Cody Rhodes, but that's neither here nor there. Cody Rhodes, I love his whole family, but he gives me Reagan voter vibes if he had been old enough, and I don't like that from him. But you know, I should give you context. Cody Rhodes is the current WWE champion in 2024.
Okay.
I forget. Lotion does not have context, Garrick. Damn it. But Bobby agrees with me in saying that Hogan sucks and that he's going down, and he's been saying it for decades. Eric says that he's terrible at guessing at this because he's still here. And Bobby says it's law of averages. And I was like, yes, eventually he's going to get the win. And this is why I love Bobby Heenan. He's going to get there. Even if he's got to talk you into it, he's going to win. Meng tries to use his spike, his little foreign object, to win because he's the bad guy, of course. Hulk instead hulks up out of it. This is a thing that Hulk Hogan does, Lotion. At the end of every Hulk Hogan match, the guy will do his finisher, and then Hulk will kick out in one, and he'll just start going, "I have the fighting spirit, I am immortal," and he will, like, no-sell all the hits, and then he hits you exactly three times with his hand, and then he hits you with his big boot, and then he drops a leg on you, and that's it. And that's the same combination every time. So, like, it's a little wild that he switches it up here, because he, like, starts to do the thing where he hulks up, and then he does the big boot, and then he looks over, and Macho's stopping Kevin from interfering, and Hulk steals back the foreign object and decides he's going to be a heel, and he does the heel tactic on him and gets the win that way. And I have this moment where I'm like, cool, all right, Hulk. Cool. You're moving outside of getting your shit in. I'm proud of you. This could be cinema if you can ride this out and just be cool about the thing you just did. Maybe, like, not in a wink to the crowd, but don't oversell it. You know, he immediately points to the camera and says, "I used his tactics against him. See."
And yeah. I'm
just like, God damn it, Terry.
It's like a little bit too much immediately.
Immediately. Like, you have no subtlety, sir. Like, at all. We all saw it. This just made me so sad. Then they just give us a replay, blah, blah, blah. Win 100, collect. Yay. Back to the commentary, boys. Bobby looks like he's ready to go home, and I'm like, there with him. I'm like, yeah, no, this is... Bobby, this Nitro has given me the bad drugs. But most importantly, Pepe is taking a nap in his daddy's jacket, and that was pretty great.
That was really important.
Very important. Possibly the most important thing that happened on this entire Nitro is that Pepe was taking a little nap.
And he had a little nappy.
A little nappy nap. And that was an awkward one. Like, that was really fucking awkward. And then just to make the confusion that you had earlier more confusing, right at the end of the broadcast, Eric again reminds us that Jim Belushi will be here.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
Why, my guy? Why? So that was Nitro. We did it. We did a Nitro.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, that's it. Look, Cheese Mouse rating on Nitro. Nice.
Nice. Just yes. Nice. Just singular. Nice.
Nice. Not too nice. Just a nice. Mm-hmm. What's that, 4 out of 10 cheese budges?
Actually, I think it's gonna be a nice, it's gonna be 6.
Okay. Oh, god damn it, my brain. Well, if it's a nice, then 6 out of 9 cheese budges. Nice.
Ahaha. Nice.
Hey, it's the sex number. Which is a good transition into Raw, because oh my god, this is a fucking Raw. This is a weird one. There is so much going on here that I was not really emotionally ready for. So how are you?
So if I may, let's start at the end.
Yeah, you want to? Okay, folks, hold on. I like this. Let's do a Nolan. We're gonna go backwards here.
We're gonna go backwards. Did we see Goldust get assaulted?
We absolutely saw Goldust get assaulted.
Okay, all right. I was just like, hey, quick question: is this one assault?
Yeah. It is assault in story. So, like, he didn't actually get assaulted, like, in the sense that he was there for it. But, like, that's assault, my guy. Like, that, and that's very much what this story is becoming. So, like, this is an infamous Raw because of this happening. I didn't realize it was this Raw. And then it happened, and I was like, oh, it's that one. But to bring it back, all right, we started at the end, but now let's do a Tarantino. Let's go back to the beginning.
Now back to the top.
In cinema verite, is that what it is? I don't know. I'm not a professional. But the opening still, when I brought this up, is just MLK Jr. And I just immediately paused and just started taking deep breaths. Because, like, it's Raw, it's 1996, Vince is on commentary, and the first thing I'm seeing is MLK. This is not going to be all right.
Yeah, I was scared. Because I was scared. You had warned me that there was, like, a hate crime. Yeah. And I was like, all right, she says there's a hate crime. I don't know what is going on here.
I probably should have given you a little more context than just there's a hate crime. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, because then at the time. Yeah, because then when the opening pops up, I was just like, wait, what? What? We're doing what?
Right off the bat. But I guess it's MLK Day in 1996. I like looked it up and like, this is.
It really was. Yeah, okay. It
legitimately was. And I'm like, all right, but Vince is doing a fucking voiceover. This is hell. This is hell. Vince doing a voiceover for MLK on MLK Day when he has an hour of television to be as racist as he wants about it later. Like, I can't imagine this is going to be good. After that, we get a graphic advisory at the beginning of the episode, which is new. Last week, they gave one in the middle, like after coming back from a commercial because they knew there was going to be blood. They replayed a match from a pay-per-view where one of the wrestlers bladed and, like, got very, very, very bloody. So it was like, okay. And I remember thinking, like, is he going to, like, be, is this him going, like, is this okay? You know, like, you guys like that? Can we do more of this? So, like, the fact that they started with it, I was like, all right, this is, strap in. We went from MLK to a graphic advisory. But sure enough, I think it might have been for the fact that it immediately goes to a sexy Sunny on a billiards table in a nightgown for no good reason. And it is implied that she's fucking Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah, I was confused.
As you should be. This is new.
Okay.
This is a new thing they are doing. I want you to understand that even 2 months ago, and I guess kind of still now, this is a kid's show. Like this is a kid's show. There was a clown character not long ago. Doink the Clown wrestled recently. This was aimed at children. There are children in the audience. And they're giving us this on an episode that ends with a fucking assault on a gay guy.
It was Whiplash.
It's Whiplash. And like, just what is going on? Oh my God. It's like, why? And Sunny's just, there's no, Sunny's like a manager. She manages a tag team. Like, what is, there were signs as the reoccurring bit. And this is like right off the bat, there was literally a graphic warning sign this time for that there were signs that Vince might have been a sex pest. Like, maybe we could have seen something. But yes, this Raw is off to a hell of a start. Doc Hendricks tells us that Goldust and Razor Ramon are going to have a confrontation. Yep. Yes, they do. But we do get the return of theme music. They haven't been doing a theme music intro for a while. They've been doing just the like video packages like we saw. Basically, and now they used to have a siren at the beginning. So they decide all three. They gave us a video package, theme music, a new intro, and the blaring siren. And it's too much shit on me, dude. Like, pick one. Like, this is getting silly. All these things went away last year, and they're all bringing it back. Like, fuck it, it's a new year. No more civil unrest, at least. Like, The old intro, when they had an intro music, was like people like banging against a fence and like cop helicopters, and it just, but with like country music, it didn't make sense. It was, none of this has ever made sense. So I guess this is just fitting in with the consistency, but the opening match right off the bat, Owen Hart and Marty Jannetty, this ought to be pretty great. It cuts to a lady doing a thumbs down the front row, and Vince just says, "Oh my goodness," and I just want to punch him in the face through time, through time, for being such a piece of shit. Because it very clear it was just like, "Oh God, what an ugly lady." I'm like, "Fuck you." like, it was fine.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Come on. Like, God damn it. Like, he just hates poor people. These are the people buying tickets to your show, asshole. Vince being awful aside, this match starts off strong. It's pretty great. And these are two really great classic workers. They give us a lot of old school wrestling in this, which is a pretty nice, actually. Selling everything huge. Owen gets out of a reversal at one point, looks around at the crowd like, "I'm so smart for doing that." And then Jannetty just murders him with a clothesline. And I was like, yes. I like this.
That was one of the best moments. Like, it was really just good.
It's so good. Owen Hart is so good at that. And that's like what wrestling should be, is like it caught stuff like that, where like he's playing to the crowd and he gets what's coming to him. It's telling a story in 20 seconds.
But
yeah,
what
were we talking about?
but yeah, something about gay sex. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm more. I'm always a hop, skip, jump away from talking about gay sex. Let's be real.
I think, okay, so let's just for one second. We have been talking about gay sex the entire time.
We have, in fact, been talking about gay sex the entire time. You know, I was going to try to, like, you know, I'm edit something around so it doesn't sound like we took a break in the middle of this, but I'm making executive decision to leave this in here so everyone knows that we've, in fact, been talking about gay sex this entire time.
I think that's exactly where you could have it start up, is just, like, have there be, like, intermission hold music, and then have me say, "Well, we've been talking about gay sex this entire time."
That's not a half bad idea. Write that down. Write that one down. Gay sex. Yes. On the note of gay sex, and back into what we were doing, which is talking about 90s wrestling, I swear.
Yes. Yes. So,
yes, gay sex. Commentary is talking through this match, not about the match, but about the Royal Rumble coming up. Soon to be released, same week as us on Patreon for Patreon listeners. But it pisses me off because this is a good match and they should be talking about the match. And I hate Vince McMahon and I hate Jerry King Lawler and I wish they would shut up. And they're ruining all of this awesome gay sex that they could be talking about that's going on right in front of them.
Right. It kind of felt like they were missing the point.
Yeah. No, they're like, you know, we're going to talk about the things coming up, we're going to make social commentary, we're going to say nothing about this glorious, crafted, these two amazing performers having this amazing gay sex in the ring in front of us, and they're just going to ignore it.
They just completely ignore the art happening in front of them. It was infuriating for me, too, as a beginner. Yeah. I was like, why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this when we could be talking about this exchange of holds, you know, these very sensual gay sex holds? And it's really, I feel like the Greco-Romans of old would be very disappointed right now. I mean, both these men are not nearly oiled up enough, but they're doing what they can. And they should be talking about it. And it's just disrespectful, Lotion. It's disrespectful.
It
really was. I'm sitting here going, can we finish this talking about this whole episode with the pretense that instead of wrestling, it's gay sex? But I don't think I have it in me.
No.
I don't think
especially because of what happens at the end. Are you joking?
Oh God! Oh no!
Yeah, we cannot. We cannot. This bit has to end right now. This bit has
to end right now. Now that you mentioned it, oh my God. Okay. Well, if I haven't been canceled yet, I'm canceling myself right now because we should not be making light. Gosh. So, gay sex aside, the match continues.
The calisthenics of it all.
The calisthenics of it all. Lawler makes a very awkward joke about Penny of the Month Club in regards to Razor and Goldust, and like there's no reaction from Vince, and it's just he's trying. It's whatever. At this point, I feel like I'm starting to like feel the dread start to set in as I realize like what's gonna happen here. Is like I'm like, oh no, this is gonna get really, like, we've been having fun with, like, they keep calling Goldust bizarre because they don't want to use the F slur, and it's like, okay, but, like, we're very, like, Sonny was in a nightgown on a billiards table, like, 2 minutes mm-hmm. ago. The times they are changing. I noticed the graphics in various transitions are different, and, like, it feels like the start of the new year is, like, a start of the new season, and that's kind of how it is nowadays in the Fed. When the new year starts, that's usually when like they change up stuff and change the presentation in a little way. But like I'm getting thoughts and feelings of all this other stuff at the same time, and I'm just feeling very. Yesterday was Halloween, and I'm feeling spooked. Okay,
you feel haunted. You're haunted by these things.
I'm haunted by the realities of these things and the fact that the gay sex bit has been taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, the match is good, but man, it's a curtain jerker. Nothing phenomenal, but competent. Owen wins with a fun pinning combo. It's over as quick as it started. Todd Pettengill, Todd Pettengill. They go to Todd, and he is the most 90s annoying. I hate him so much. I remember hating him as a kid and not knowing why, and now I know why. It's because he sucks. It's because he's terrible. It's because he's annoying. That's why. I don't even know anything else. Like, I think I have context now. He sucks. That's
you can just hate someone. You can just hate someone. That's enough.
We're grown-ups here, Cheese Mouse. We can hate people. And I hate him immediately. Gives me a reason. He drops TLC's Waterfall with One Eye Lopez or whatever, and like now I wish to take him out back. Lisa Left Eye Lopez was a saint, Todd. All right, thank you very much. You almost burned that man's house down, and he had it coming. And that's all I will say about that. I've always loved TLC, and he can't even do right by them. And fuck him forever. The whole sad like mall food court segment it just sucks. It's Royal Rumble setup, basically.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they give us little promos from Diesel. I did enjoy getting the video package of Vader because he gives us some great little sound bites. Just the Prince of Power. I'm like, don't ever change Leon, big weird motherfucker, and I love it. What I say about this segment is that it is too long, and even when it's over, it just goes to Doc Hendricks, and it's out of the frying pan and into the seventh circle of hell. Finally, though, back to wrestling, and it's baby Stone Cold Steve Austin and his in-ring debut.
Oh my God.
He's a little guy. He's got peach fuzz on his head. He's not quite bald. He doesn't have the goatee yet. He's not drinking beers yet. He's in green tights, and it's fucking weird. He's got the belt with the cubic zirconias. It's great.
It was, like, really charming, actually.
He really kind of is. Like, everyone talks about, because of what he ends up becoming, like, the biggest guy in the history of the business, everyone talks about this era like it's so awful and awkward. And it is kind of awful and awkward, but it's cute at the same time because he's just this little guy. And he's doing his damnedest. And I love this era of Steve Austin because he works faster. I think it's before he injures his knee again. And like, I don't know, because he's not new at this point. He's one of the guys who before this, he was in ECW. And before that, he was in WCW. He was stunning Steve Austin. He was in a tag team with Brian Pillman, actually. They were the Hollywood Blondes. He's, not necessarily a veteran, but he's been at the game a while at this point. But Vince saddled him with this fucking gimmick because he needed something for Ted DiBiase to do, basically. And it's just not working. And it sucks because he's great in the match. But before we can even get to that, we again get the second round of knockoff Chris Isaak's Wicked Games music, basically. And I'm realizing that that's exactly what it is, because Jim Johnston, the guy who does all the music for the WWE, that's his thing, is he would take popular songs and, like, make them slightly different so that they wouldn't get sued, but just use that anyways. That was, like, all he did. And it's just Wicked Games. I was like, why do I know this song? It's been bothering me. It's Wicked Games. It really, truly is. And it's just Sonny being hot again on a billiards table and letting everyone know, like, it's Raw. It's 96. And I'm sad about it because I love Sonny. I always loved Sonny. I absolutely had a crush on Sonny as a kid. But, like, she's better than this, damn it. She's Sonny. Yeah.
She deserves better.
She deserves better than this. This is just sad. And you're marketing it to children. And it's freaking me out, Vince. I'm going to need you to, like, make it more clear that this is not a kids program anymore. I feel like they're doing it subtly, and that's what's making it weird.
You cannot do that subtly. It has to be a very clear, yes, like a very clear change. Very all or nothing.
Yeah, and they just do not do it. And it's making it all very, it makes this whole episode just feel icky, and like, I see what you're doing, and I don't necessarily like if that's your demographic, sure, whatever, it was the 90s, but like, not too long ago you're like selling karate fighters and shit, and like, it's like very kid oriented, and like, I feel like this is just gross when it's the fact that I'm watching all these week to week. I think it's like, I have this context that I didn't have when I was a kid, plus being a grown-up now. And, like, I didn't, all this, what we're watching now happened before I started watching when I was a kid. I was, like, maybe 8-9 months from now I started watching first times. So, like, I missed a lot of this. So, it was, like, it was already that, you know? Does that make sense? Like, when I started watching, it was already this. So, it wasn't as, like, what the fuck? Because it was just, like, well, that's just what this is. And it had worked it out. But going back and watching this transition, it makes it weird. Like, it makes it really weird that it's just out of nowhere we're going, here's Sonny as, like, a Playboy model. And, like, no anything besides a graphic warning, basically. Like, it's just weird. It just feels weird. It feels very, what the fuck are you guys doing? But I guess they work it out eventually. And not necessarily for the better. It leans into it harder. I'm reminding myself, this is the episode where I'm having to remind myself what I signed up for. I feel like it's like,
now it's changing. It's different.
Yeah, it's changing. It's different. And I'm having to, like, every week is a new thing making me go, oh God, oh, this wasn't okay. This is what I was watching when I was 8. What the fuck? Like, things are making sense, and it's not all good, basically.
But so how much of this is therapy? Like,
I don't know.
We're all finding out together?
Including possibly my therapist. if you're listening, hey, sorry, things didn't work out this week. Wi-Fi's a motherfucker. But yeah, it's really weird. It's starting to get weird. I'm like the drugs are starting to come up, man. Like, I'm starting to feel it, and it's not great. Wasn't ready for this trip. I thought I was ready for this trip. It's strange. We come back from a break though, and it's baby on baby violence. Because they're feeding Steve a jobber, as like, you know, here's this guy who is a nobody. And you're just going to go lose to him. You're going to do the job. You're going to go lose and make Steve look good, basically. Mm-hmm. But this jobber is a baby Matt Hardy, who's like a Hall of Famer now. it's like, this guy grows up to be a big deal. And it's kind of cool because his brother was a jobber a couple weeks ago. And then you also saw them, like, working as, like, side characters, like carrying a guy to a ring who was, like, a king. He got carried in on a thing, you know? And it's wild to see them working in the background before they hit the main roster. It's just really cool to see that, because I've heard them talk about it, And like, you know, yeah, we'd show up at tapings and stuff, but like seeing it real time, it's like, oh, holy fuck, there's the Hardys. It's really wild. And like, Matt was good. He's obviously like green. He's like 19, I think, here. Like, he's a real little baby. But it was a good match. It's fast paced. Austin does a thing that he ends up becoming one of his shit that he gets in. It's like one of his move set. He does it's called a Luthez press, where he like runs at the guy and just throws himself at the guy's upper body and like lands on him and starts punching him a bunch. Basically, and like that becomes like 8 months from now, he's gonna do that and the place is gonna shit themselves. Like, wow, like that's gonna be a big thing. But right here, it's cool, but it's not what it's going to be. And it's so cool seeing these early mannerisms that are going to become iconic. So like that kind of brings me back as I'm having this pod existential crisis, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, what did I get myself into? And then he does that. And I'm like, yes, that's what I got myself into. I get to see the origin of Steve Austin doing that shit. Like, that's kind of cool. That's why I'm doing this. And then to bring me down, Vince and Jerry say something about OJ. I was too busy to pay attention to though. I was like, that's how I survive Raws now, is I don't listen to the commentary as much as possible. Because it like just try to pay attention to the wrestling because I know they're pissing me off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're pissing a lot of people off because in the meantime, King lets us know New York Times. There was an article where I guess they talked to Ted Turner and he's mad about the billionaire Ted skits they've been doing, making fun of him. And that's kind of wild. Cause that's what that is. When they do like the billionaire Ted's war room, they're making fun of Ted Turner, the owner of TBS and TNT and CNN and all that. Cause he owns WCW. So that's the competition. So he's been doing these skits for 3 weeks where the Huckster, Hulk Hogan, and Nacho Man, and Scheme Gene, and all these guys we just saw on Nitro, you know, and he's making fun of them and poking fun at them and at Ted about why can't our wrestling be as good as the WWE and blah, blah, blah. And I guess, like, it's gotten to the point where Ted, like, 3 weeks now, Ted actually said something, and the remark he made is he doesn't like that he made him sound like a hillbilly in a cheap suit. He didn't like that the guy's wearing a cheap suit was his retort, basically. And I'm just like, mad that it's billionaires fighting on TV right now. I'm like, God damn it. Like, this is supposed to be entertainment, and it's really just you two sniping at each other, and like, just get a room, damn it. this is ridiculous.
This is about the actual, like, athletes. This is about the wrestling.
It should be about the wrestling, damn it. No, it's about billionaire Ted and Vince's fragile ego and, like, how much he misses Hulk Hogan. Basically, it's always going to come down to this whole war is about Vince and Hulk missing each other and being mad at each other and trying to, like, get back at each other. It sucks. But it's a good match. Steve hits him with his old finisher, the stun gun, where he drops him on his like neck across the top rope. That used to be how he like ended matches in WCW. That was like his go-to.
Okay.
But he's got manager Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. So if you're the Million Dollar Champion, you got to use Ted's finisher, which is like a variation of a sleeper called the Million Dollar Dream. So, like, Matt Hardy sells the shit out of the stun gun and, like, rolls and shit. It's beautiful. And they uses that as a setup to put him into the million-dollar dream. And, again, it's fun seeing the character evolve. You know, like, he still brought his thing over from his old company, but he's still using it just, you know, I got to do what Vince wants now, too, blah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not going to last very long. Like, by the end of this year, he's going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's not going to be this ringmaster guy. And it's, that's going to make for, I think, interesting podcasting, because I'm watching this going, what the fuck? Like, how is it in like 6 months he's going to be doing his Austin 316 speech? Like, what the fuck? How do you get from that to that? It's wild. So I was really happy to see this match. It was cool. Like, I'm happy we're getting to that point, but it's everything around it sucks. Like the Shawn Michaels video package. I just go on autopilot. I don't want to see more about Shawn Michaels. I loved him when I was a kid. Now I just can't stand his ass. they just talk about him and they're like, this is gonna be our guy, he's gonna be the champion. I'm like, I don't want him to be. Fuck this dude. Speaking of more annoyed though, Doc Hendricks again.
Yep. Oh my god. Right back to that.
And he's just like pacing. And we get representation. Our darling drag queen, Goldust, will be next. But it's actually kind of a swerve. And this was a little weird. They come back from commercial to a match in progress, but it's not a live show. So they made the decision to edit it as though there was a match in progress. I was like, okay, are you trying to like trick the people at home into thinking you're live because you're getting your ass kicked by the actual live show? What's going on here? It's a choice.
Well, I mean, they're allowed to do that, right? Like, they're allowed to do that.
There's apparently a lot of stuff that he's allowed to do, even if I don't like it. Again, the hate crime. But it's a tag team, the Spiders versus the Smoking Guns. And I had to do jobber journalism, as I'm calling it, because I was like, what the fuck is the Spiders? I have never seen these guys before. Who the hell is this? And Google did its job, oddly enough. The Spiders were out of... Yeah, I'm proud of it. It did it. They came out of Memphis, which was like Jerry Lawler's territory, and where a lot of like... They used to like a developmental, like Jerry would work with the guys and then they bring them up. But this is what we actually see here is the debut of what is eventually going to be a different tag team, but same guys, called the Headbangers. This is the Headbangers under masks. I loved these guys as a kid. They end up getting a new gimmick where they're like basically like Marilyn Manson fans. And that's their headbanger mosh.
That's
and
their gimmick.
Thrash. That's their gimmick. Is that they're just like alt metal dudes, and they come out in like skirts and mesh and like they like thrash dance and like mosh in the middle of the ring and hardcore swing their arms and shit. It's so funny. I loved them as a kid. I was like, I don't know what any of this is, but this is awesome. These guys rule. But right now they're Spiders, which, okay, cool. Works for me. They lose. And then we finally get our promised gender. Dustin comes out flaming, like licking at the camera, really putting it on thick. And Vince says on mic he is unquestionably bizarre and unnerving. Bizarre being the word that he has to use instead of the slur. But he has, like, I took note of the fact that Vince has, like, this look of, like, actual disgust on his face.
Oh, yeah. Vince looks disgusted the entire time.
And like, and not like he's acting. He has this look on his face, like, I know that look. Like, I saw that look shopping, like, 3 days ago. Like, I know that look. Like, fuck this guy. What a piece of shit. And it's, like, this is so sad because, like, Goldust is important to me. Goldust, like, helped me understand myself. Goldust is queer representation and ends up, like, becoming a okay representation of it. But right now, this is what Goldust is because that's what he is to Vince. And Vince is showing us that. Like, that's what this guy is to me. Like, we're playing up that he's gay so that you can be disgusted with him because that's what you're supposed to be towards gay people. And, like, it's sad. You know, and he just says it as such. Like, he says, well, are you actually gay or are you just trying to mess with homophobic tendencies? And it's like, whose, motherfucker? Like the Goose meme. Whose homophobic tendencies, ooh, Vince?
Yeah.
Whose are we talking about here?
Why would you be worried about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Who writes this shit anyways? Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fucker. But Dustin comes back and, like, perfectly. And this is why Goldust ends up being so great, because it's like he exists to be made fun of at this point. That's the point. But he refuses to like not just commit to the bit 100%. So it comes back, hey, well, Mr. Announce, TV announcer man, is that an extra microphone in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was losing my mind.
And I'm just like, that's my guy. This is why, like, he's like, I refuse to be your victim here. Fuck you. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. And I have ridden that energy for decades at this point of like, yes, I am a weird little freak. Do you have a problem with that?
Like, why would you be worried about that? It is not your issue.
We have more important things to talk about, like Tootsie and Hollywood. And like he has to remind everyone. He's not gay. He just likes movies. That's his character. and then he proceeds to lay it on thick with Razor, with his theme blaring the whole time, which I think was like a nice choice. And I appreciate because you can hear the crowd is just screaming at him. I am sure if that music wasn't blaring, there would have been so many things that probably should have been bleeped out. Like, holy fuck. So this was very gay, hot and gay. I know what I'm about. And he kissy faces at the end of the promo, and I'm just happy. I'm like, fuck. Oh, fuck. All this is going to end poorly, but fuck it. For now, I'm happy.
Right. In that one moment, oh my God, it was beautiful.
Yes, exactly. So that's good. We get that at least. And then, yeah, Lawler says Goldust is here. He may be queer. Get used to it. And I mark this down as the first and last time that Jerry the King Lawler has ever been based. Even if it was on accident, I'm counting it. We'll give him that one win. Because I was like, yes, that's great. Even if you put the he may be, because they don't want to get in trouble. It's like, they won't commit to it. Dustin's committing to it. That's what I love. They're like, he is so gay. Not actually, but like he's laying into the bit. And I love this. That's what makes good shit, is if you can like really lean into it. So yeah, we come back to what I thought was a promo from the resident lich, the Undertaker. Maybe it's just because we watched Beetlejuice last night for Halloween, but the graveyard made me think of a little model town. And I was like, yes, this is good. Turns out it's a Royal Rumble promo. And I was like, okay, good. So like I said, soon to be coming to the patron folks. And they go back to Doc Hendricks and a very sexually stable, not at all insecure man, name of Razor Ramon, looking like he just came from the bar, because he probably did, just comes on through. Like, all right.
Barges on in.
So this is happening, and I'm like, there's wrestling, though, right? Like, we get a main event still? Like, because, like, now I'm just, like, at this point, I'm, like, trying to ride the high of Goldust being wonderfully gay. And the immediate layer of, like, Tarantino-esque, like we did. We started at the end. It's there. What's going to happen is a hate crime. God damn it. It turns out, though, this is pretty cool. It's Yankum versus Taker. These guys will eventually be kayfabe brothers. Isaac Yankum, the dentist.
Oh my God. I was revolted.
As you should be. He's a revolting human being. He's a mayor now in Knox County, Tennessee. Not a good one. he was also there for the Donald Trump podcast. As you will. Because he ends up playing a character called Kane. He's Undertaker's brother. And basically, he just steals his moveset. Like, his whole thing is that he's a clone, basically. Like, if you're playing a video game, every character has a moveset. Kane is just a clone of the Undertaker's moveset with a different skin, basically. So it's kind of interesting to see these two stack up. And I'm like, all right, well, let's see here. And fuck them. Soon you can find these brothers, most recently, several feet up Donald Trump's ass. Okay, I wrote that in the notes. That's good. So at least I was
very helpful. Yeah, very, yeah,
very helpful, Pascal. Thank you. But the lights go out. Taker's gong hits. I'm happy for the homophobia to stop for a second. This is fun. I'm curious how this is going to go, though, because like Yankum hasn't stolen his moveset yet. So what is he going to do? I'm like, what do you do when you're the dentist? You haven't done much as this dentist. Like, he doesn't have his own shtick, really. His finisher is a DDT, and I think they call it the DDS to try to make, like, a joke about, yeah.
A little dentist, just, a little teeth humor.
A little dental humor. A little
tooth hurdy.
A little tooth hurdy, you know, yeah, oh gosh. But it's not, it don't work well for me. All this is, I want the dentist to be gone. But begrudgingly historic moment. This is, like, this eventually becomes one of the biggest feuds of my childhood, is him and his brother. And they eventually become a tag team, of course, because that's how this always goes. You start to, like I always say, you start to see the code of if a tag team comes together, they're going to break apart. If two people are fighting each other, eventually they'll probably become buddies. Like that's how you keep the career going. Yeah. That's how you keep this ongoing narrative like a soap opera for decades. None of it really makes sense. It's pretty boring. I did love that the camera mic picks up Paul Bearer wailing and kissing the urn, and that made me giggle.
Oh, that was so funny.
Just, yeah. I was trying to figure out, what the fuck? Because they're not, the camera wasn't cut to him, but it was picking him up, and it was really creepy. For a second, it was like just the wailing out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, I can see how this was effective. I didn't appreciate this as a kid. I thought he was just creepy looking. So that's all right. Pretty boring so far. It's the same old Undertaker doesn't sell and because he's undead. So he just takes all the hits. It's whatever. My favorite part of the match is the dude in the audience in a live t-shirt. Because it reminds me that it's 1996. And I was like, all right, yeah. I love seeing 90s people. It's one of my favorite parts of this show. is the random 90s public. And lightning crashes indeed. King, though, also senses that this match is boring as fuck. He decides to try and steal the urn chain from Paul to spice things up, because there's nothing going on in this match. Undertaker scares him away, blah blah blah. For all of 30 seconds, we had a story. Cool. But at least he ran Jerry away, that's nice. Then we get picture in picture of Doc saying that Goldust isn't done talking to us. And my terror builds out of nowhere. This means that Vince says he does not represent the gay community or any other community for that matter. Sexuality notwithstanding. Please don't sue me. Please don't sue me. Please don't sue me. Which makes me think that we might already be to the point where Glad was getting on his ass about this. Because that's a thing that happens. They legitimately got mad at him. So you're doing the gay panic thing. Cool. People kill us, you know. Yeah, cool. It's a storyline. But in the meantime, wrestling. Yankum tries to tombstone Undertaker. Again, giving us a look at the future. He's about to do the Undertaker's own finisher to him. And like I said, he steals his moveset. So I'm like, this is, what are y'all doing? But they cut away from it just to Doc Hendrick's pacing. And we miss the reversal and all this other good shit. And I'm just mad at this point. And not even about the hate crime that's about to happen, but that it's not even live lotion. They're doing this bad on purpose. It feels
If it was live, I would be okay, yes, this makes sense. But it's not. They're doing it. They made no choices. Reason.
They made poor choices, and they're doing this on purpose, and I will never forgive them. I will forgive the homophobia. I will forgive all of that. I will not forgive shoddy production, damn it. They have a line. But Doc is on hand after the match ends. Inevitably, Undertaker gets the tombstone on him. 1, 2, 3. We all knew how this was going to go. I take deep breaths because I know this is going to be bad. Dustin is there with Doc. Dustin and his obtrusive penis, which I appreciate. Just bulgy. the title of last week's episode did, in fact, refer to that penis. Perched lovingly like a bird on a wire. But Goldust starts rubbing his chest and talking about Hollywood, all good things. And Razor does a hate crime. Just attacks him. Just comes out of nowhere, smears the queer.
Yep, yeah.
I hate this.
That's just what happens. That's what happens for the rest of it.
Yeah, the rest of the show, basically. There's other awful things in between. Because the rest of the show just becomes a bad trip in my mind, because it's just the whiplash effect comes back. Because thankfully Goldust does end up hitting him in the balls, which is pretty great. Love that for the cause. We cut to commercial and it's all right, this must be over. They cut back to Sunny fully naked in a bubble bath saying that we did it for almost an hour. That's raw.
I don't know why we did that.
What is going on? I'm freaking out.
Like, mom, pick me up. She's naked in a bathtub.
Mom, I don't think I should be watching this. It was okay last week.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, pick me up. She's naked. What is going on? Just, okay, sure. What the fuck? And then we wonder, like, most men are horrible. And I feel like it's this. Like nowadays, this is, I'm blaming men on Vince McMahon. That's what I'm doing. Because, like, this is what was fed to the masses, that women, sex object, gays for beating, OJ, a punchline. Like, this in yeah. South Park is why we are the way we are as a society. Ugh. In case that all wasn't enough, we get a second instance, again, of Razor hate crime and gold dust on the way out of the broadcast. Like, they just go off the air with him beating him up in the snow, swinging a shovel at him. The commentary gives us the most play-by-play that they've given us in weeks for this hate crime. And then, like, Goldust just hops in a random sedan and takes off, which that made me laugh because, like, was his car just there?
Right? Yeah. I was like, was he just, like, so prepared? Or
he's in it? Like, what's going on? Did Dustin Rhodes steal someone's car?
Maybe.
But we did it. We got through Raw. We got through a harrowing Raw. Thank you, Lotion.
Oh, thank you.
Holding my hand through that. Because what the fuck? Unga.
It was really quite the experience. That's how I'm going to phrase it.
Yeah, thank you for putting yourself through this for the sake of our parasocial friendship. I appreciate that. If you unfollow me, I understand.
it's not just us. It's also the people that listen to your podcast.
Yes, exactly. I call them sickos for a reason.
they are sickos. Yes, and I love them.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I love that about them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it any other way. But on that note, I don't suppose you had a favorite match of the week, Lotion, did you?
Oh my gosh. I have to say that probably... It's between, I already forget what Stone Cold Steve Austin's other name was.
The Ringmaster.
The Ringmaster. Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah.
but watching him fight was really a treat.
And him and Matt put on a great match.
It was, I think that was an amazing match. But I also really enjoyed the match between The Undertaker and The Dentist, actually.
That's wild. That's so cool.
I thought that one was pretty fun. I was like, you know, I think they could actually kill each other, and I like that.
They probably have tried like drunk a couple times, I'm sure. Like, you know.
Yeah, and like that's the energy they were bringing to that match was like, "Oh, buddy, you want to see if you can die?"
Yeah. But did you die? And Undertaker was like, "Yes, I did. I'm undead. I'm a lich." That's the whole thing. Oh, that's wild. All right. Well, if you're gonna give match of the week to them, which is your want, I think that's interesting because, like, I you know, it catches me off guard that people who aren't taking this in weekly, when like something that I am so sick of, like the Undertaker's entire shtick at this point, is like, no, it was a good match. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I guess. Like, if you haven't been torturing yourself, sure. This is solid.
Yeah. Okay. So, what is yours? What is yours?
I am actually going to go with the jobber match. I was going to go with I forget something. One of the ones off of Nitro that I tag team with American Males and Public Enemy.
Oh yes, yes.
Because like it was not a good match, but it was a fun time, and like I'll take that. And it ended with tables. But I think I might actually have to give it to Matt Hardy and Steve Austin because it really was good upon thinking about it. So I think that was my Steve Austin's debut in ring in WWF, and he gets match of the week from me. So he's a Hall of Famer, but I'm sure this means something to him, Steve, if you're listening.
Yeah, this is going to change his life.
A fellow podcaster. He retired and went into podcasting. So, like, there you go. But as far as who won this week between Nitro and Raw, I'm giving it to Nitro because Nitro wasn't like existentially hard for me to watch.
Yeah, I think it has to be Nitro. Like, it yeah, just...
by law at this point, retroactively.
Yeah, there's no debating that one.
There's no debating that one. That was a Raw. That was a Raw of all time, and there I do not have enough nicotine vape or cannabis for ever having to watch that Raw again. That, I'm sure I'm going to get replays next week, though, so I have that to look forward to. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I do love that what eventually turns Goldust's face is that his wife shows up, and it's a spoilers, looking ahead for our dear sickos, there's going to be coming a point where the storyline is basically that him and his wife are the couple who saw you from across the bar. It basically, they bring that energy to it, and like they end up like actually like separating a hot wife from their partner, and like the crowd loves this. And that turns them babyface, is that they're the weird poly couple of swingers at the bar, and that turns them babyface, and it goes from there. Because I guess, you know, it's they still can't grasp that bisexuality is a thing. So if he's a little fruity, that's fine. Yeah, god damn it. That's the other thing. There's just no bisexuality in 1996. They can't just say both. Like, it's gotta be either or. Let us have nice things like pansexual fuck parties. God damn it, Vince. Oh, pansexual fuck party. That's how I'm gonna end the show. Damn it, Lotion. Hell of an episode to have you on.
Hell of an ep. I'm so glad I got to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for saying yes. I'm just slowly working down all my mutuals to see how many of them I can lose by making them watch 90s wrestling. And it's going so far so good. It's very much a blue sky podcast. On that note, you are the official Go-Gurt. As our outro, is there anything you want to plug? Can they find you officially anywhere? Is there anything you would like people to find? Would you like to be left alone? Oh. All of these are options.
I kind of like being left alone. I don't need any more followers. I'm good.
You're good. Yes. Okay. Well,
you know what? I'm gonna plug one thing. This is what I always plug when I go on a podcast. Wow. I don't want you to give me any money. I don't want you to follow me. I don't want you to do anything with me. What I want is the people who listen to this podcast, if you have $5 extra, donate it to your local Black Lives Matter Association. Donate it to your local food bank. Donate it to, I don't know, fucking, oh, don't donate it to the presidential election.
It's going to be over.
It's going to be over, right? Yeah, okay. All right. We're good. Okay. But
oh god, this is going to come out the day before the election. Jesus.
Oh no. Oh.
Oh man, the timing, folks. Oh god. All right. We got
contentious. Contentious.
The C stands for contentious, Bishop. Gosh. Okay. All right. Well, yes. If you're in Minneapolis, donate to Community Kitchen. That's definitely a place that always needs donations. I used to cook for them, and they are like literally the best people I know. So they need all the money. And CheeseMouse/Go-Gurt/TheBeans/Lotion. I adore you. Thank you for being here. And leave them alone. Don't find them. You can find them.
Yeah.
You can find them here at the podcast, in other podcast places. And mm-hmm. other than that, leave them alone. Leave Cheese Mouse alone.
Leave Cheese Mouse alone. That's right.
There you
Thank
go.
You. Okay. Yeah,
you can skeet that one too. And for everyone else, see this. Damn it! We're the posters chat that have been workshopping bits. Fuck. Thank you so much for everyone else hanging out and listening. You can find the show on Blue Sky at mnffpod.bsky.social. Instagram, that's still getting updated, at mnffpod. If you want, you can join our Patreon and hang out for the pay-per-view watch parties. This week, we'll be doing me and Hamster watch 1996 Royal Rumble. So everything that we watched the build-up to today... we did the watch party. We watched the whole pay-per-view and Mystery Science Theater talk, shoot the shit through it. It's fun. It's interesting. It takes a very long time and it's usually worth it. Hamster is awesome because they are When they first guessed, they knew nothing. And they are kind of like you at the deathmatch lotion. But at the end of it, they are now a stinger, like a little stinger for life, chanting blood. Fuck Ric Flair, you can't be trusted. Like, they are in. They are a full-on WCW possum at this point, and I love this for Hamster. So, like, they are so fun. This is Hamster's first Royal Rumble. So I'd absolutely say check it out if you want at the Patreon. That's patreon.com/MNFFpod. Look at me, I'm a professional. I said it possibly twice. And on that note, we'll see everyone else next week. More Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye.
Bye.